The first thing that people learn when they read about the grim darkness of the 41st millennium is that if you want to travel faster than light, you need to go through literal hell. No, not the hell of designing an engine, or even a space-capable craft, but literal hell. You know, that one from Dante's Inferno, where demons, fire, energies, and actual gods try to eat your tiny little ship because you wanted to deliver flowers to your mom. Of course, the Warhammer 40k version of hell, which is usually referred to as the Warp, is very different from the one we speak about in our ancient texts. It is a realm made of the souls of the dead, the screaming Neverborn roiling in energies of pure emotion, the place where four insidious gods of chaos have formed as a response to the unending wars in our own galaxy, each chaos god trying to overpower the other in a great game, enslaving trillions of humans, xenos, mutants, and heretics to fight for their dark purposes. But what if I told you that this is the good side of the Warp? That place those four gods reign? Yeah, that is the best and safest part of this entire dimension. What if I told you there is a deeper Warp, a place of rotting gods, a realm where cosmic horrors swim that scare even the Chaos Gods themselves? I spend a lot of time researching, piecing together, and even reading old interviews from the writers of Black Library to uncover every detail I could pertaining to the Deep Warp and what dark beings live within. And let me tell you, this lore is absolutely nuts. I've been in this hobby for 20 years, and I didn't even know half of this. As there are a lot of sources for this video, you will see all sourcing and novel names in the bottom left-hand corner throughout the video. So, in today's video, we are going to take a look at the Deep Warp. What creatures reside in its murky depths? Where did all those dead god corpses come from? Why is it so dangerous and usually impossible to even enter? How did humanity discover it in the first place? Why, out of all Primarchs, did Jagatai Khan willingly enter this hellhole? And why are even the Chaos Gods and the Emperor of Mankind himself scared of entering this place? All that and a whole lot more in today's video. Let's get into the lore. Before we can get into the Deep Warp, I need to quickly explain the Warp, the Materium, and the general dimensions of 40k first. If you already know all of this, don't worry, I'll keep it quick. Beyond the boundaries of physical space, unrestricted by time or causality, there is a plane utterly incomprehensible by the mind. This realm lies on the other side of dreams and nightmares. It is beyond form or structure and even imagination. Here, everything is an impossible abstraction, made real through metaphor. Love and hate, fear and hope, ambition and despair are what makes this realm. Yet it is an uncaring, emotionless void. It is ever-changing but constantly remains the same. No natural or supernatural sense can see, smell, or hear it, except through illusions of color and faces that drive men insane. This is the Warp, the realm of chaos, the sea of souls, the Immaterium. Whatever name you give it, this is an unknowable realm where the armies of thirsting gods are locked in a conflict as old as the universe, one that can never be won. Warp space is a dimension parallel to our own, a universe devoid of matter and life. It is a sea of energy and utter turmoil. It is the raw stuff of chaos. Every single thing we do in our reality, in the Materium, is mirrored in the Warp. If you kill a man or hurt someone out of desperation, a small movement is made in the Sea of Souls. A scream of anguish, despair, hatred, or pride is enough to awaken or attract a new sentience that would inflict the same upon you as you do to others. Due to this realm being timeless, all the hatred, pain, and more we have caused in our universe have always been and will always be in the Warp. Over time, this has given sentient life to those clumps of malicious soul energy we call the Chaos Gods. They are the ruinous powers, and each is a reflection of the passions that formed them. First amongst them is Khorne, the Lord of Battle, possessed of towering and immortal fury. Second is Zinj, the bizarre and ever-changing architect of fate, who weaves powerful sorceries to bind the future to his will. Whilst the third, Great Nurgle, the god of disease, labors endlessly to spread infection and pestilence. The last of their number is Slaanesh, the Dark Prince, indulgent of every pleasure and excess, no matter how immoral or perverse. The Dark Gods wish their age-old war to secure more power, to fight over the raw stuff of creation that birthed them in the first place. While these four are among the most powerful entities of the Warp, they are far from alone. From them hail countless legions of demonic horrors, but even these legions are but a fraction of the Warp's endless horrors. The Warp is far more than an abstract battlefield of nightmares and storms of emotions. While Warp space exists parallel to real space, they often intersect, faster than light travel can be achieved by the careful breaking of boundaries between the two planes, and mankind has colonized the galaxy through the application of this dangerous yet esoteric science. It is from the Warp that Psykers draw their power, channeling its energies to achieve unnatural feats, such as sending telepathic messages, peering into the future, augmenting physical capabilities, or hurling crackling balls of lightning. Even the demons of the Immaterium can be summoned forth by unholy rituals that require sacrifice and pain to thin the veil between dimensions. But their time in reality is limited, for demons rely upon the Warp to sustain them, the way humans need air to breathe. As wars grow and the death toll reaches its peak, the Warp may roll forth into our material plane, spilling as raging streams of demonic energy we refer to as Warp Storms. Would a planet be caught in the path of such powers, its inhabitants would be corrupted and mutate on the whims of its screaming emotions. Yet all of this is but the human understanding of the Warp. Humanity has only traveled it for 20 millennia, and when we do, we only skim past the very surface, the shallowest and safest parts we can find. What lurks deep within the deep Warp is both a mystery and believed to be almost an impossibility. Within this place, the gods of chaos are at their strongest. To puncture the surface of the Sea of Souls is something even a devil boy like Erebus can do on a whim. But to go deeper, who would dare such a dangerous dive? The depths of the Warp are something humanity has only ever glimpsed at. It is something that remains impossible to travel to. Or is it? What do we actually know about this deep Warp? What is it? With that tastefully dramatic intro out of the way, let's take an actual look at the deep Warp itself. What do we know about it so far? And how is it canonically categorized within the levels of the Warp? Because yes, if you did not know, we have names for every layer of the Warp itself. The Warp is a thing of illusions and speculation, but if you want to compare it to something we can actually understand, it is an infinite ocean. And just like the ocean, the Warp has depth, one that stretches deep and wide. The first upper layer of the Warp is the Stratum Aetheris, which is the Shadow Ways. Here is where humanity and other races usually travel. From the Shadow Ways, the light of the Astronomicon and what used to be the Pharos device can be seen and used as a lighthouse. Through the Stratum Aetheris, navigators can navigate the Warp, and the upper layer is the easiest part to punch a hole into with both warp drives and galler fields. The second is the Stratum Profundus, which are the greater arteries, plunging deeper into the Warp itself. While not impossible to travel, these arteries are best avoided by humanity, as navigating them is essentially like driving blind. The Astronomicon is but the smallest glimmer here, and is impossible to see from even the smallest distance. And finally, there is the third layer, the Stratum Obscurus, the Deep Ways. Here is where humanity's knowledge of the Warp ends. Everything beyond this point is believed to be impossible. Some call this the Route of Terror. In the eyes of some, such as Vale, the head magister of the Achillux Navigator House, describes this deep part of the Warp as moving like a living thing. It is not a mirror or parallel. When touched, it trembles. The complexity is something that makes the rest of the Warp almost seem understandable. It is a realm completely separate from everything else. To go this deep into the Warp, not only do you travel blind, but galler fields simply stop working. A galler field is essentially a bubble of reality that protects the ship from any demons trying to enter its halls. But when you delve into the Stratum Obscurus, even the best and strongest galler fields immediately shut off. Vil also said that it takes the power of a tormented sun to even get past the Stratum Eteris. If you string the reactors of a dozen battleships together and double their potential, it would still not be enough to enter the Deep Warp. The only benefit a ship or traveler would have within the Deep Warp is that there are no storms. The violent and turbulent nature of the warp is lessened here. But without a Geller field, ships are vulnerable to the predations of demons. The warp is already a poison for mortal life. The deeper you go, the worse the poison gets. In simpler terms, and to go back to our ocean comparison, the Deep Warp acts in a similar way to the deepest part of an ocean. You might even compare it to the Mariana Trench. But imagine it had no bottom, where the water pressure gets so high, even the highest-tech super-resolution cameras would get crushed in an instant. While some believe that the Deep Warp is free from the touch of the Chaos Gods, I myself disagree with this, especially when taking into account that there are 8 Gods of Chaos, which aren't all present in the upper levels of the Warp. Yeah, 8, not 4. Before you get out your pitchforks and dub me a heretic, I ask you to hear me out on this for a moment and let me explain. We all know the Big 4, Khorne, Tzeentch, Nurgle and Slaanesh. Some older fans might even remember Malus. Which, quick side tangent, Malal is a Chaos God from Warhammer Fantasy, who due to a copyright issue is considered non-canon. For 40k, they never had a Malal. In the grim darkness of the far future, he has always been Malus. And yes, he is still very much canon, as we see him in the Labyrinth short story, Cadia's Stance, Imperial Armor Volume 13, and the Burning of Omad Horus Heresy supplement. But he is not the only extra god we have information on. To get a look at the 8 Chaos Gods, let's grab the Burning of Omad. This story is one of the exemplary battles of the Horus Heresy, essentially a battle that does not affect the entire heresy, but does introduce new elements and stories to explore certain factions. The Burning of Omad focuses on the Sons of Horus and a group of Wordbearers attacking the Forgeworld of Omad, with the Sons of Horus commander specifically trying to achieve demonhood or make a demonic army. This somewhat works, but it also backfires when the Sons of Horus summon demons to help them. They accidentally let numerous other warp rifts open, allowing legions of demons to pour out and fight traitors and loyalists alike. This story is a free PDF published in the last couple years by GW. Honestly, I highly recommend checking it out, even if you don't play the Horus Heresy. The Burning of Omad also provides us with some unique insights into the Warp. In the eyes of a mortal man, the forces of the Warp seem like a unified host of monsters. But this is far from the truth. Deep in the Warp stirs a number of powers, each with its own agenda, desires, and its own host of demonic spawn. With the Ruined Storm splitting the galaxy, these powers, more than ever before, ventured forth into the galaxy. Esoterists, Diabolists, and other demon summoners within the armies of Horus still had much to learn of the powers from the Warp. Summoned demons were often drawn from different gods, bloodletters fighting next to demonettes, a Lord of Change commanding hordes of Nurglings, and many more such cases. Although demons are generally unique, they do still follow a certain template. And in this little booklet, there are 8 dominions the demons of the Ruined Storm are drawn from. To start with the dominions we know best, there's Heedless Slaughter for Khorne, Rapturous Sensation for Slaanesh, Putrid Corruption for Nurgle, and Infernal Tempest for Tzeentch. But the other 4 dominions are... Encroaching Ruin. This dominion is the purest form of terror that few can stand before and remain sane. It hungers only for destruction, that all things mortal meet their predestined end and crumble into dust to be forgotten. To this singular end, it moves forever, driven by a nightmarish purpose, which subsumes the petty divisions of demonkind. Ravenous Dissolution. The hatred that swirls within the warp encompasses all things, and like a dragon of eternity that feasts upon its own soul, you know, Ouroboros, this hatred extends even to itself. There is no rational or sane logic from these creatures, and to have expected anything else would be foolish. The Ravenous Dissolution is both chaos by name and nature. This self-destructive hatred offers no ally to anyone, only a new and unpredictable enemy. If it was not obvious enough, this is the domain of Malus, who people like to call an anti-chaos chaos god. Formless Distortion. Demons of all domains manifest into insulting, disgusting parodies of mortal forms. But the true essence of chaos is endlessly shifting into the next unknowable thing. It changes and perverts everything it touches. Some demons who cross the veil into real space embodied the ceaseless distortion to its fullest extent, shaping themselves into roiling aberrations of immaterial flesh and bone. For whom death was simply one component of an eternal metamorphosis they would inflict upon the material world. Malevolent artifice. Chaos likes to mock and twist everything mortals create. And of course, this extends to technology as well. The very drive to create has been perverted into raw force of malevolent destruction within the Immaterium. Conjured forth into real space, such demonkind harnesses the work of mortals as a vector for their own annihilation. Their monstrous machine entity forms, at once a mimicry of flesh and artifice. Every action made to demonstrate their supremacy over both mortal beings and everything they deigned to create. Does this sound familiar? To me, it certainly sounds like the work of Vashtar. But does this mean there's already a dark machine Chaos God deep in the warp? Or is Vashtar destined to ascend to become that exact being? Now, all of this is truly some crazy lore we have only known about for like 2 years. So if you want me to do an entire deep dive on the 8 Gods of Chaos, please let me know down in the comment section below. If enough people are interested, I will show some extra sources that prove these descriptions to be true. But Dutch, I hear you ask, how does this relate to the Deep Warp? Well, I'm glad you brought it up, brother, because it is time to take a look at what resides within the Deep Warp. It is time to get spooky. Now, we enter the stage where we have to start combining fact with theorization, and I would like to start with what we know without a shadow of a doubt. Other than the Chaos Gods and their realms, there are also the corpses of slain Sinos gods. If you didn't know, the best example of these are the slain Eldari gods, those not consumed by Sonesh, those that died during the war in heaven and sank for millions of years. To go back to our ocean comparison, and I promise this is the last time, these gods are slain, they are ghosts, but they are still a whirlpool of dying energies rotting in the depths. These dying energies can be fed upon by entities other than the familiar four main gods. Many lesser powers exist, coming and going much like the slain gods themselves. Some of these powers are lesser gods in their own right, existing only briefly before being destroyed and consumed. Others may be exalted demons or even demon princes seeking to gain power outside the watchful gaze of the Chaos Gods. In our real world, these slain gods are no different from a whale passing away. For those who don't know, whales, when they die, slowly sink to the bottom of the ocean. During this descent, some predators might take a small nibble from their carcass, but once it hits the ocean floor, a whale carcass turns into an ecosystem. Larger fish and the like strip the whale of most of its fat and meat, and other small bacteria and water vermin eat the rest. These temporary ecosystems, where the bottom feeders of the ocean make their home, are valuable to the entire ocean. Without them, life on the bottom of the ocean would be impossible, and from that, the bottom of the food chain would not be met. These ecosystems can last for decades until nothing is left except bones. In much the same way, slain Eldari and other Sinos gods are a wellspring of power for lesser entities and demons, which in the end feed back into larger animals higher in the ocean. But this raises a very important question. If the Deep Warp is filled with dead alien gods fed on by a myriad of entities, are there any living gods down there that are still alive or have even formed there? Well, we know of one god that came from the depths of the warp, surprising even Nurgle and his followers when she randomly swatted an entire fleet apart, that being the Tauva goddess. To keep the topic focused, I do need to add some context. The Tau are not a very powerful psychic race and understand very little about the warp, so when their fourth sphere expansion used an experimental warp drive, they entered the warp without a Geller field, and they were caught in the Great Rift, which opened at the same time. This caused the Force Sphere to be sent off course, and during their time in the warp, they would fall into its true depths, and they would be hunted by strange demons. The alien auxiliaries like the Kroot, humans, and psychic Nikasar, love me some wizard polar bears, were attacked by demons. The Tau could do little to help, and they themselves were only attacked when they tried to save their allies. To make matters worse, the fleet would be sucked into the heart of the Immaterium. During this, the Tau thought there was no escape as the whirlpool of the warp sucked them deeper and deeper. Here, the currents of the warp were devoured, and suddenly, the demonic attacks stopped. The remaining demons began to laugh. The ships no longer moved or showed any forward momentum. But something was scraping against their ships, even though they saw nothing. Something immeasurably large scraped past them, the creaking of their hulls sounding with the strain of force. This sentience was the goddess Tau Va, who was worshipped by alien auxiliaries across the Tau Empire. The goddess saved the Force Sphere and flung them out of the warp, away from the corrupting touch of Nurgle. Now, considering how little knowledge the Tau have on the warp, one fleet's first-hand account does not hold up perfectly. Yet it is my theory that younger and newer gods can manifest themselves in the deep warp, feeding upon the corpses of what lies down there, and then rise to the top to interact with the species that prayed them into being. Now that we know what might be down there and which forces are missing in the upper echelons of the warp, has humanity ever traveled there? Did we figure out a way to do it? Let's take a look at a crazy story of the Primarch of the White Scars, Jagatai Khan. During the Dark Age of Technology, humanity created a device known as the Dark Glass. This device is said to be capable of punching a hole deep enough to reach the deep warp. Inside the Dark Glass lies a throne that, when powered by a sufficiently strong psyker, allows one to access the deep warp. And it is this device that the White Scars used to reach Terra when the Ruin Storm enveloped the galaxy, and while they were being chased by the Death Guard and Emperor's Children traitor legions. To power this device for only an instant, it cost their chief Stormseer, Yagusai, his life to send his legion to Terra. As the throne burned up Yesugai's soul, he saw Terra, he saw the Astronomicon, and more importantly, the Golden Throne. The throne within the Dark Glass was connected to the Golden Throne, but the throne was way older, more powerful, and foul. Yesugai almost smiled in his death. As long as he could see the throne, he could guide his legion to Terra. In his last moments, Yesugai learned the truth. Both thrones were made to delve deeper ways, to free humanity from the shallow warp. There were hidden paths, ones that only Xenos had known, which the Emperor wanted to access. The Dark Glass was but a small node, an experiment, so that the Emperor could work and perfect the throne of Terra. The path to Terra was open, lost but not forgotten. It was a damaged road, already swarming with demons. Yesugai's lips were gone, his eyes burned away, and his fingers melted. But the deep warp had opened. But that is not all. I would like to present the following excerpt from Path of Heaven, where we see Jagatai Khan witness the deep warp firsthand right after entering the portal. The Lance of Heaven thundered over the portal's edge, its entire structure shaking as tremendous forces took hold. There was a kind of gravity in the vortex, a pull that ripped every starcraft in and yanked it deeper, sucking like quicksand. The Legion traveled faster than their warp drives were capable of. The portal collapsed behind them, and curves of neon-white etheric lightning pursued them, failing to snare them in their desperate chase. As the last of the warp shutters slammed down, the Khan got a final glimpse into the roiling madness ahead and perceived a split moment of the heart of the storm. Far ahead, too far to catch, remnants of Dark Glass spun and disintegrated. He saw the last of the black iron casings fly free, burning into ash. Beyond it was the stuff of the Underverse, the warp space that Navigator Vale had spoken of, the Stratum Profundus, the Seed, the Deep Warp. Then that too was gone, locked away from mortal sight, cocooned behind lead and iron and ancient sigils carved by the technomancers of Terra. We always knew, the Khan thought. We always knew it needed symbols and arcana to control. How easy it was to forget, to pretend, and that was the first error. The first hull breach was signaled by a sudden slew to starboard, a kick far greater than warp turbulence would give. Jagatai glanced up at the tactical displays, his fleet stretched away ahead of him, in close formation, all traveling at the same insane speed. The chronos rattled around, the sensor cycled, the velocity meters fused and burst. On the flickering auger screens, he saw that Third Legion ships had followed them in and had broken up on the cusp of the portal. Burning remnants flew along in the momentum stream, clustering close to the Lance of Heaven's plasma trails. 9 Stormseers remained on that bridge, plus the sorcerer Arvida, and they broke off from their warp scrying rituals. Naram-Bhatar, the greatest in power after Yesugai, an age-steeped warrior in rune-carved armor bearing a staff of carved ebony, looked up at the bridge's lofty ceiling, his unhelmeted face suddenly tense. The noise had followed, like steel spikes dragged over rusty iron, digging deep. Great rattling clanks resounded along the length of the dome structure. The Khan knew those sounds. They had ever been in his dreams since the earliest memory. The distant rills of ice and fire that had preceded his first true recollection on Chigoris. They had tried to claw their way in, then too. "Be still!" he cried, striding to the edge of the command dais. Every face on the bridge lifted to see him. The menials working at the nav stations, the officers in their white robes, the legionaries standing at every intersection and gantry head, the seers with their bone chains and horsehair staffs. "We are now in the realms of the gods. This is their place, where they do not suffer the mortal to endure." The hull vibrated again, riven by heavy blows from the outside. There were no cracks in the adamantium, for the denizens of the Imperium fought not against the physical constraints of matter, but the psychic barrier of tech sorcery that shielded it. "They come now, hungry for more blood, but we have bled enough, and others have bled us to bring us here, and they shall have no more." The first claw broke through, punching out the inner roof, shimmering like a hololith. A pungent sting of maddening perfume bloomed across the entire bridge, followed by the distant shrieks of another world. The Khan drew his tulwar. All across the bridge, every warrior took up a blade. The warp shutters rattled. The warp drives whined. "They seek to bring us down, because we guide the others," the Khan cried, striding over to where Arvida stood. "We must not fall." More claws burst through, the ether screams reached fever pitch, barbed whips snaked out through living metal, curling like a sentient thing, and the internal shielding layering the bridge vault shattered, dissolving the last elements of the Geller field. "So we stand here," roared the Khan, defiant against the gathering swarm. "We stand in this place, we are the Talskar, sons of Chigoris, and this is the last test." They broke through them, screaming and yowling. The heralds of the greater horror, slim-limbed, hook-handed, horn-headed, cloven-hoofed, droven like a liquid from the inner hull. "To the ends of time," the Khan thundered, bracing to meet them. "We defy the dark." Then, every mortal voice rose up in acclamation and fury, undaunted by the Legion of Terror, bursting through matter to claw at them, bearing every weapon they still possessed, and led into battle by their Primarch as the fleet plunged deep into the forgotten ways of the Aether. "Kagan, Ordu Gamana Jagatai!" They roared, drowning out the screams of the Empyrean. Then the gap closed. The demons came among them, and the battle was joined on the Lance of Heaven, even as it raced through the depths of the living warp. The White Scars, the most ignoble of the Legionis Astartes, traveled where none had ever gone before. If you ask me, that is very fitting. Later, when the White Scars come out of the deep warp, their ships are left coated in black carbon and battle damage. Jagatai Khan was covered in blood and injuries. Only half the Legion remained, but the Ordu of Jagatai Khan had arrived in time to defend Terra. As I mentioned before, the warp is capable of leaking into reality. So we have to find out, can the deep warp do the same? Can it breach into the normal warp? Or hell, with enough turmoil, can the deep warp breach into reality? The Deep Warp might not be the home to the storms the rest of the Warp is infamous for, but it is perhaps the most dangerous place in all of existence. If the Deep Warp were to break through, it would perhaps destroy all of our galaxy, ripping it apart, right? What if someone were to draw from this power? You know, the same way Psykers do from the top level of the Warp. Have some individuals done so? Maybe a certain contentious perpetual. I'm talking about Erda, mother of the Primarchs, of course. During the Siege of Terra, Erebus hunted Erda, hoping to convince her to join him on the side of Chaos and together kill the Emperor of Mankind. As expected, Erda absolutely bullied Erebus, calling him a pathetic devil boy and telling him to go crack himself. Erebus decided the best response to this was to summon four greater demons, one from each god. During this battle, Erda would be injured, but she fought them with terrifying ease. Sure, these greater demons were some of the strongest ones out there, but the only other people we have ever seen doing something similar are the Emperor himself and the Psi Titans of the Ordo Sinister. Erebus, watching the fight unfold, was literally useless. The powers unleashed was something he could never imagine. Erebus even questioned if Erda's power came from the Warp at all. It felt more powerful and different than anything else. Somehow, it was as if its origin came from the foundations of the physical world, a well that never dried up, and something truly primordial. But Erebus also raises another point. All roads lead to the Empyrean. Was this the power of the raw deep warp? Perhaps. Perhaps not. In any case, Erda's powers are something different from anything else we have seen. And in the opinion of Erebus, Erda could have been the queen of the warp if she had just accepted the gods of Chaos. Another important source when it comes to using the power of the deep warp comes from Kyrel's Fateweaver and the Well of Eternity. It is often said that the Well of Eternity used to be at the very center of reality, the place where space and time both originate and end. Zines wished to gain the knowledge of the future. He already knew everything in the past and present. After throwing in multiple Lords of Change into its glowing depths, Kairos, one of Zines' personal viziers, was yeeted in, and somehow, he came back. When he did, however, he had gone utterly insane, and his one head became two instead. One always sees the past, one always sees the future, but neither can see the present. This version of the story is from the 4th edition Codex for Chaos Demons. In more recent printings, such as the 8th edition Codex, the Well of Eternity is in the center of Zinj's impossible fortress. Other than changing the location, Zinj also only threw in Kairos directly, so take that as you will. But besides this, we get no further sources on the Deep Warp. So in conclusion, the Deep Warp does exist. It is the part of the Warp where the Chaos Gods simply don't want to go. 40k lore is fun, and there's a lot of it. But sometimes it is also very contradictory, and what is true and false can be hard to discern. But there is the true beauty of 40k, a sandbox of near infinite possibilities that all might hold a root in factual interpretation. The Deep Warp remains evasive. It is rather esoteric lore that people have spent hours debating, calling each other mean names. Some argue the Deep Warp is not real at all. Others argue it is filled with terrors that scare the Chaos Gods and make Khorne clutch his sword just a little harder. Some say the Chaos Gods are the most powerful entities in the Warp and cannot feel fear. But then this is also absolutely disproven by Zinj himself, as he was too scared to enter the Well of Eternity. In all of my years of being in this hobby and having explored countless of other settings, the Warp has remained the most interesting and complex lore I have ever encountered. But what do you think of all of this? Do you think the Deep Warp is real, or is it just some esoteric misunderstanding where the writers have no idea what they are doing? But let's just say the Deep Warp is real. What do you think is down there? What kind of creatures do you think the Chaos Gods are scared of? Do you think the Emperor pulled the Primarch souls from down there? Or do you think the Deep Warp is something completely different? Let me know your comments, concerns, suggestions, theories, and ideas down in the comment section below. If you think I deserved it with this video, please leave a like and hit that subscribe button. It helps push the video into the algorithm, and it would make me very happy. Thank you for watching, and I will be seeing you in the next one. Bye-bye.